Randy Wilson with Marrakesh Blues. This is from his 2012 album, Melinga. As you know, Randy Wilson, and we're so proud of him because he was a native of Brooklyn. He lived in Brooklyn. He was a Brooklyn man, a very tall Brooklyn man. He died on September the 1st last year at the age of 92. But by then, he had created a compendium of his works in jazz, and particularly with African influences and intonations, and was wildly popular in the music world. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today, a different kind of format we'll be following, where it's a test. It's a pop quiz. Yes, of course it is. Why? Because you're up to it. You've been following the news, allegedly. You know what's going on, allegedly. And so you should have no trouble with this pop quiz sort of test. Well, that's actually a test of your analytical skills more than anything else. Well, we'll start with what I'll do is I'll give you just a fact or two, some basic facts about a news issue or event, and then you would have to give us what you think the focus of coverage will be. What would the media do with a story like this? How would they report it? And what will they be leaving out is really the more important question. What will they be leaving out in these stories? So, you know these stories because we've discussed them here. But I want you to focus on the very important pieces of the story that just will not get covered. And although they're in the public arena, these stories are in the public arena, there's a lot that's missing. And we will have to ask, well, why? Why is that? Would news people deliberately omit information? Would they leave things out that are extremely important? The answer is yes. You don't have to waste time with that. The answer is yes. They'll leave things out, and there's a reason. All right. Today is a very important day in the Vatican. There's going to be a world gathering, if you will, of high-level officials of the Catholic Church. And with representatives, high-level meaning people like bishops and cardinals, the princes of the Church, if you will, the people who carry the administrative weight in this worldwide, this global organization known as the Catholic Church. The Pope is saying the time has come to face squarely the matter of sexual abuse, which has been rampant within the Church all over the world. And this convocation is being called to study the matter and, more importantly, to make some decisions about how to handle it. This is not to say, according to the Church, this is not to say that they have ignored the issue for so long, but it is to say that they realize, the Church realizes, it must do something to meet the crisis that has developed and how to handle the crisis that has developed in this area. Okay, so that starts today, and it will continue for 4 days. And then, of course, they will come up, as a church normally does, with a number of written rules and regulations as to how to handle sexual abuse, especially sexual abuse of children. But we know also that there is this matter of sexual abuse, even of nuns in the Catholic Church, that went unaddressed for decades. So the church is really, from, you know, the church's perspective, they're really putting themselves out there, and they are, the church is indicating that it is truly wrestling with a problem. All right, here's your challenge. What will not be reported here? What issue absolutely, a seminal issue that will not be addressed, that we could predict will not be addressed? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what you're thinking. What issue, after giving you those very bare bones facts, that the church as of today is dealing with this monumental problem of sexual abuse by church officials and priests, and they are expecting as of today to be seen, and they can proclaim, of course, that we're wrestling with the problem. We're not ignoring it. 888-874-4888. I want you to predict what will not be discussed at any cost. What will not be discussed, and not only by the media, but, I mean, not only by the church, but by the media covering this 4-day convocation. All right. So we have one taker already. Ma'at, you're on the air. What will the church not be discussing?
Yes, first greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
I would say, in terms of answer to your question, is that one thing we never know or are told or have any idea about is where the buck stops in terms of what is the authority for prosecuting these monsters, those monsters.
Add a little bit more to that, because we want you to define exactly what you mean.
Well, we've been hearing about this for decades now, and now we're hearing, oh, it's also the nuns, too, and both girl and male children. There never seems to be, you know, the Vatican seems to be very slick because they've set up their own state. They have an ambassador, ambassadors and such. But it's like, where does one go if one wants to get accountability? It's a slippery slide, left and right. It just makes no sense.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Henry from Chicago, what will we not hear about this massive meeting?
Okay, how you doing, Utrice? How's it going?
Okay, Hank, thanks a lot. I'm hanging in. How about you?
hanging in as well. I guess I'm going to take a shot at it since I'm kind of close to the situation being a Catholic and everything, but I think the one thing you probably are not going to hear from my standpoint is you're not going to hear about the history of this. And it's much longer than what the Catholic Church is presenting as far as the sexual abuse. because I don't hear much about how long this issue has been going on. So they'll probably present it as something that's new, which is not. And they'll probably present it in a way where this is something that they're just dealing with. So I'm assuming that you're not going to hear, or probably not hear, how long this, because this thing probably has gone on for centuries. And it, you're probably not going to hear something like that.
Okay. Well, the good news is that both Maat and Henry are correct. You're not going to hear really the depth and breadth of this problem. You're not going to hear about that, because that's not what they are convening this convocation for. They're not really trying to undercut themselves, and they're not trying to add to their own problems by giving people insight into how vast and longstanding this problem really is. But the critical issue, and this is where I think Maat hit it on hit the nail on the head, is that the Catholic Church will not spell out the where the line crosses, if it does cross, from this spiritual aspect to the legal aspect. When do priests become targets of prosecution? That's the essential question. It's nice that the church wants to counsel people and about the spirituality of the issue, how it diminishes the soul and how it hurts people and so forth. All that is fine. And it will discuss in great detail how people wrestling with this problem might seek some kind of help on a spiritual level to deal with it. But you will not hear how the church is going to refer these cases for prosecution at the local level. The church is not going to deal with this. The church will not see this as a crime, as opposed to a personal failing, as a cry for spiritual help on the part of abusers, and even for the abused. What they need to do to make themselves whole again. The fact of the matter is that this is the reason that people are concerned, that the church seems to have no mechanism, nor does it seem to intend to have a mechanism for dealing with sexual crimes, sexual abuse crimes, as crimes. They see this, it's going to be a big thing. They'll say, you know, the church has summoned up the courage to deal with this in public. And they're wrestling with the problem, and Pope Francis is, you know, a pioneer now. He is really opening up this long shuttered issue. Is not talking that the church has not been talking about it, but they still are not talking about it, and they won't be. They won't be talking about how do you refer such crimes or alleged crimes for criminal investigation and prosecution. Excellent. Excellent, Henry. Excellent, Maat. All right, we started off well. Well, Henry, you're still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still on the line.
Okay. So what would the church be doing if it, in fact, as we are predicting now, that the church will not go to the real problem in the real way? It will not deal with this question, which is central to the whole thing. This is not about recommending prayer and recommending counseling and searching of souls over a problem. It's about priests and some nuns who have been violating children and adults for years, for decades, and nothing really has happened to them.
Okay, can I respond to that, Yashree?
Yes.
Okay, so I will say this. Now, I just saw a recent interview with Cardinal Blaise Cupich. Cardinal Blaise Cupich is the Archbishop of the Chicago Archdiocese. He is also one of the organizers of this conference. Now, one thing he did say, which will probably conflict with what you just said, was that they're going to talk about a process of handing over these priests to, you know, the local authorities. Now, some, you know, I've heard the Catholic Church say certain things and they do something totally different. But he still has not implicated the archbishops like himself and the bishops who are, you know, who are also accused of moving these priests around. So, You kind of hear half of what you want to hear, but you still don't hear that the, like you said, the princes of the church, you know, being also prosecuted in these crimes of sexual molestation of children. So, you know, I'm still at a wait and see. Let's see what happens after this. If he's really telling the truth, that they are going to work with local officials. If these cases come to a point where they have to turn it over to the local authorities as a sexual assault crime.
Well, the thing is, it should be that from the very beginning. Why does the church get to exercise preliminary authority in deciding if a crime has been committed here? There is a mechanism for that in the real world. Somebody comes forward and says that my little son Johnny or my little girl Jenny alleges so and so and so. That should happen right across the board, church or not. But the church is reserving the right first to define what is a crime. It is controlling the process of determining whether a crime has been committed. It also is controlling or attempting to control punishment. So listen carefully over the next couple of days and you will see how right you are. Thanks a lot for calling.
I will be listening. All right, thanks.
Thank you. All right. Hate groups have been said to by people who measure these things and watch these things, they say that hate groups in the United States have reached a 20-year high. And it is because of white supremacy. That's a finding. The number of hate groups active in the United States rose to its highest level in two decades last year, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They studied it as recently as last year. And this is supposed to mean something. What does it mean? 888-874-4888. You're going to tell us what this means. Is it something that we ought to pay attention to? Is this, in fact, a credible report? What do you think? What does it say that a group that studies hate groups, that's all they do, has decided that hate groups in the United States are at an all-time high and It is because of white supremacy. That's what is invigorating the rise in the number of hate groups in the United States. Is this cause for concern? Is this just another statistic? How are we to react to this? This finding by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which does these things every year. 888-874-4888. And if you don't want to deal with that, I have something else that you might want to consider. And that is Bill Cosby, who says he has no remorse. He will have no remorse because he's an innocent man. Not only that, he is in the same position as notable men like Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, and many other civil rights leaders who essentially were railroaded by the justice system. Is Bill Cosby a railroaded man? Is he correct to maintain he has no reason to feel remorse? What are you thinking? Is he right that he now belongs in the pantheon of leaders who had been attacked, assailed all throughout their lives with charges of acting improperly? What do you think? So two more questions on the board. One is about the Bill Cosby. Oh, Patricia, you're on the air. Which one are you tackling? Hello, Patricia, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Yes, good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PBN family. Before I'm going to tackle the Southern Poverty Law Center report, but I just wanted to let the family know that a large group of UAM members attended the dedication of the Media Center for Leola Maddox last Friday. It was an absolutely wonderful, wonderful event.
That's great. I'm happy to hear.
Yes. So I just wanted I have followed the Southern Poverty Law Center for many, many years, and they actually produce a very informative and credible report. And I was just reminded that I don't know how many people heard the news yesterday about this white supremacist in the Coast Guard who was planning the mother of all killings of people because he supports Trump's philosophy and principle of white supremacy. When they raided his home, they found artillery, guns, weapons, steroids, which was similar to, and I don't know if you remember, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, there was this mass murder of almost 90 or more people in Norway, and there was a camp for children, and they killed about 69 or 70 children. And this Coast Guard was a believer and a follower of the person who committed that mass murder in Norway. And he was planning on recreating the same thing here. So, this is not some figment of anybody's imagination. It is real, and it is dangerous, and it is frightening. And it's real.
Uh-huh. So therefore you believe that the report is credible?
Oh, I absolutely
and
do.
And if it is credible, then what should the reaction be?
Well, it's you cannot identify these people in a crowd. But you also can't become so paranoid that it immobilizes you about your daily activities. But you certainly do need to be aware, and you need to be alert. And more than that, you can't prevent these people from showing up anywhere, any place, any time. Now, what I found quite interesting, however, was that a lot of what he was planning to do, he did all of his research online, and that's actually how he was discovered. His online searches and queries about how you do mass murders of this kind. So, you know, I hear every day about the fact that everybody's movement is monitored by the government. They know at any given time what anybody is doing. And so, again, hypervigilance, but where these people show up, they show up indiscriminately, and there's nothing that you can do to prevent that.
But let me ask you, you yourself identified it, that there should be, because we are told there is, a special unit of government. We're told all the time about how vigilant cities are about keeping tabs on these kinds of things, but we haven't heard any reports from them.
Well, we may not hear reports, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist and it doesn't happen.
But I'm saying that this is part of the expected part of what these organizations ought to do, these departments ought to do, to conduct public safety, to let people know. Let people know that there are people out here, or, you know, if maybe it's because they don't want to give any credence to the Southern Poverty Law Center, but to let people know, I'm talking about the city and the state apparatus, to let people know that this is what is happening and that they should be careful.
Well, you know,
but you haven't heard any warnings at all.
I am cynical enough to know that depending upon the target, some targets will be allowed to proceed. Depending on the target. I think in this case, the target was not one. I think in this case, the target, the ultimate target, was probably groups that they did not want to have this impact on. But there's no doubt in my mind that there were times when they let things go, depending upon the target.
Okay. That's a great possibility. Thanks a lot, Patricia, for getting us started on that subject. David, you're next. About this?
Good afternoon, Eutrice. I sent you an email. I didn't get an answer yet. But look for my email if you can. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. I want to take a stab at the hate group comment. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I'd like to know exactly what gets you on the list as being a member of a hate group. You know, I know white supremacy is rampant. It's been that way since the early days of the country, and that's no surprise. I know about the hate groups that turn into violent groups against certain groups of people all over the country, things like the Ku Klux Klan and so forth. But also, I have some questions about how one gets on this list of hate groups. And I'm suspecting that some people who make comments about another group and are not violent in any way or accused of terrorism can get themselves put on a hate group because of their commentary about some other group. So you're designated as a hater because you are critical of some other group. And I don't know who decides which group will be designated as a hate group just on the basis of maybe that group's commentary about some other group that they feel that they have to comment about, and that is interpreted as a hate group. So, you know, I'd like to know more about that, and I'd like to know about this organization, how they decide that a hate group is a hate group, and it doesn't involve any kind of violence, or what do you mean when you say hate group? So That's my question. That's my
All
question
right.
that I would excellent. Have to answer.
Excellent question. Excellent question. And Patricia, excellent analysis. So we're doing great yeah. on this question when we take a look at the information shared by the last two callers, Patricia from New York and David from Brooklyn. Thank you so much. Okay, we're up next on a question that I think is a bit complicated, but really not if you're thinking about it. It's really not. Now, we didn't get any response yet on the declaration by Bill Cosby that he does not and will not express remorse because he, as he sees it, he is a political prisoner. So I'll ask someone to address that question at 888-874-4888. Jose from Rosedale, you get to answer that question.
Greetings, my professor.
Thank you.
I tuned in a bit late because when I heard you talking something about the Catholic Church. And
yes.
I had intended to say something on that, and also Mr. Cosby.
Well, try the Cosby thing first, because the Catholic Church piece has been addressed. You can also add to it. But
that's what I was calling it for, mainly. But I'll touch real quick. As far as Mr. Cosby is concerned, I don't think there's any comparison. I think he's just kidding himself when he put himself in the pantheon of those men that has done so much for our community and had more moral standing than he has. So I won't belabor that issue anymore. That's for him and his conscience to deal with. All right, I can't decide on whether he should apologize for anything or show remorse, but I just don't believe that he belongs in the same realm of the men that he referred to. As far as the Catholic Church is concerned,
hold a second. What point do you think he's trying to make? Why do you think he comes public with this particular statement?
Well, I simply think he's trying to, as Clarence Thomas once mentioned, that it was a lynching. What did Clarence Thomas mention again when he was on trial?
It was a legal lynching.
Yes. I think Bill Cosby has no further defense than to put himself in that position as being persecuted by the system. And if he would garner more support for him or so forth, but I can't figure out where he's really going with that, because he really just doesn't belong where he's trying to put himself. I don't think so.
Okay, I think you make a very good point here. Maybe he sees it as a moment to make a statement to generate interest in his case and in his plight. Having to do with his contention that he did not receive a fair trial. Mm-hmm. So he has upped the ante on that, hoping that it would resonate within the community in such a way that it begins a groundswell of support. But I take your point as well that it is a bit of a stretch to claim he is a political prisoner on the same level as these other people who he named. And one wonders why he chose to do that.
No.
Okay, but so now you get to talk about the church.
Yes. Now, the Catholic Church, for as long as we've been knowing it, has been a magnet for members of the homosexual community, are people of a different sexual persuasion. This is not something that is just happening today. And they have been getting away with this for quite a long time because of the power of the Catholic Church. And my thing is this. If I find that so often we as a race of people, we are called upon to apologize for everything. If we just sneeze and it offends somebody, they're calling on us to apologize and to say something about the matter. And I find it strange that the members of the homosexual community has not stepped forward to denounce the Catholic Church and what is happening there. They have not said a word in what members of their persuasion have been doing to young boys, to children, for the longest. It is something that is abhorrent. It is despicable.
Answers to your own question. Do you really expect any group? Dealing with a subject matter as you have described that is so odious and controversial to step forward and claim responsibility? I mean, that's not going to happen. That's not a realistic expectation.
But everybody is beating us up and demanding us to apologize. We must have collective guilt. And if one of our people do something out of step out of line and let them do something, it must be a collective guilt. And they want to demand that we apologize for this. We must apologize for that. But there, this powerful group out there, and no one is stepping forward and taking responsibility, denouncing.
But why are you acting as if you expect them to, given the situation? I mean, use your thought process here. It is not a good scenario. It is a global shame. It is, and it's not just homosexuals in the church.
I know that. Yeah.
Okay. But why do you expect, and why are you so outraged that they will not come forward to claim a piece of this and claim responsibility? Why is it particularly upsetting to you? I see
And I've been on this planet for so long that I've gotten kind of dotish in my thinking, and I believe that maybe somehow I want to believe that there's some kind of a decency and fairness left in somebody, some group out there, and maybe it's just my dotishness is causing me to think these kind of ways.
But is it that, or is it that somewhere in your heart you believe that gays and this gay movement is corrupting, has been allowed to get away with corrupting the morals of young people?
Probably.
I think that's what it is. But look, it's a very nasty problem, and nobody, and gays are no exception, nobody really wants to come forward and somehow claim responsibility or urge that the affected group assume responsibility as a group for what has happened and what has been happening and what will obviously continue to happen. Nobody wants to do that, which is why we see even, and especially the Catholic Church, absolutely running away from the problem. They don't want to deal with it, and they don't want the police to deal with it. They don't want law enforcement to deal with it either. They don't want the psychiatric community to deal with it. They just want the problem to get up and go away.
Yes.
They would not want this kind of responsibility to deal with, because now it bleeds into other areas of the church, which deal with faith, which deal with belief in God, which deal with the what people see in the Catholic Church as the leading church out there. They don't want to lose that kind of status. They don't want to be besmirched. They don't want this out in the open. They're doing everything possible to climb it up. So,
but it's out in the open that Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder can see it.
Oh, no, that's not a good thing to say. because Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder have their own vision, clearly.
They're both they can see it, my professor, the rest of us should be able to see it. The world should be able to see it and do something about it.
Well, this is the reason we're discussing it. And what I'm continually explaining is you have a vision. You have a gut feeling as to what ought to be done. If indeed the church is sincere about solving a problem, and this is a huge part of the problem.
Yes.
But we have to be realistic. The world we're dealing in, we're seeing before our very eyes an institution that is about God and righteousness and truth and offending no one and whatnot. They can't bring themselves, and they won't bring themselves to dealing with a problem because it will go against the grain of all of the propaganda of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have to choose between the survival of the church and the truth of the church, they'll pick the survival of the church every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Don't get angry about it. Just understand how systems work. Understand how systems work. And that's why I say today, the stories we're talking about today, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You know intuitively how it's going to turn out. I don't have to wait and read the accounts, the media accounts of what was accomplished today and what will be accomplished in the next 3 days in the Vatican. We know.
Mm-hmm.
We know. So that's the whole point of it, to have some, to trust what you know.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks
my
for
pleasure.
Calling in. Thank you. Actually, you are my professor, too. We are each other's professor. All right. I have a question here involving Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bernie Sanders. It appears Ms. Ocasio-Cortez will not be backing Bernie Sanders. Is there something about that that concerns you? 888-874-4888. She will not be backing him in his announced bid for president in 2020. Now, she used to work for Sanders in the heyday when Sanders' movement was born and growing. So she clearly knows the movement well. Is there something wrong with her deciding not to back Bernie? Is she not entitled to make an individual choice? Or is something else happening here? 888-874-4888. Willie from, Khalil, sorry. Oh, Willie has been hanging on. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Thank you.
I did not get on the first thing, but when you mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center right away, I got in late, but I already know about them. The WJC, the ADL, all of them are going to come out, and for one reason. Annually, the minister makes a speech every year. What I consider our Christmas speech. And you know, he goes through everything that is true. And I expect them to come out. So that's all I got to say about them. It's a satanic group. Oh, okay.
Let's deal with the issue. What is the issue that you are identifying here?
I didn't hear the question. So,
well, that's the whole point. The question that you're looking to answer, which I thought we dealt with, was
the moment
that the Southern Poverty Law Center has, as it does its annual study, has determined that racial groups, hate groups, are at their peak right now, and it's because of white supremacy. What is the implication of that? That's the question.
That's just a smoke screen. It's all, they're all focused on one thing. It's the Nation of Islam. The WJC, AJC, Simon Weasel, all of them. That's what they focus on. They're just using the white supremacist group as a smoke screen. That's all that is. Because I know they're gonna come down on it and try to do something about it. Okay, anyway, our sister, Cortez, she's not supporting Bernie. And, it's very simple to figure out why. She has good sense. Because you have to be out of your mind, in my judgment, to vote for Bernie Sanders. Because the last time you did a program on it, he burned the people. So you're going to go back and support him? What is he going to do this time? Set us on fire? So, I mean, you would have to pay a fool to misunderstand this. It's just a part of the system.
Yes, but we're asking you to interpret. So give us an interpretation, your interpretation, as to why you think this is happening. Why is Ocasio-Cortez shying away from a person she worked for and a person one presumes that she would be enthusiastically supporting?
Because in my judgment, she realizes that she made a mistake by working for him and supporting him the last time around. Now she's quite clear on what he's all about. That's all.
Okay. Enjoy. Well, all right. Nice we time. Have that. So maybe somebody would want to add as well, but that's your take on it. And we'll see in due time, and not too long from now, what she's not explaining anything. She hasn't said why, but it does bear thinking about, and it is significant, but she's not discussing it. So we'll see whether she has an explanation for this unusual turn of events. But thank you, Willie, for calling in and contributing today. From South Carolina, Khalil, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good. I didn't get finished to ask a question yesterday, but this is not the time because I really wanted to. 2 days ago when you made a wonderful argument about when people run for politics, they run to win. Therefore, should you respond to your constituents or should you do the right moral thing? And that wasn't going to be my question. But if you would allow me, I would like to respond to the Bill Cosby question.
Go right ahead.
Okay, because it really bothers me. And I think it's gotten glossed over. There was, when I say this, I'm not saying that Bill Cosby is innocent. I don't know. I wasn't there. There were a lot of accusations, but let me put that out there like that. However, the way the law works, you are held accountable for a certain case, a certain incident, and that's what they narrowed in on, the law enforcement, okay, the prosecutor. They chose to narrow in on an incident with Constan, okay, who was at Temple, like Bill Cosby.
That is
settlement.
No, wait a minute. We just have to explain who Constant is. You can't just say Constant. We have to identify
her. All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, see, I'm kind of I know that place like in the back of my hand. Okay, so Constant was involved in the athletic department at Temple University. So she was in the infrastructure at Temple, so she was around. She would visit Bill Cosby at night, knowing he was a married man. She claimed that he put, and she knew he was giving her pills, and she took them. Then she claimed she was knocked out, and he took advantage of her. Okay, so that happened. Then they came to a settlement, a financial settlement that was kind of ongoing at some point. Okay, and then she would still call him, which made it appear, you know, to some people appear, well,
you're retrying the case. You're retrying the case. And for to be really effective and meaningful, we have to have other people in on the discussion, because it's a very complicated case.
Okay.
But if you
right.
can bring it down to its essentials, that would, in your view, bolster your point that you're trying to make about the case.
Okay, I'll get to the point. Here's the kernel of my point, is that when you have a settlement, that is a legal binding contract, a settlement. That means that the parties have agreed that the issue is dead. Just like if you have sediment in a bottle, it's at the bottom. It does not come up. That's what settlement is. It settles. It's done. Now, the judge chose to reopen a settlement. That is unheard of. Otherwise, why do you have a settlement? And this is probably why he feels the way he does.
Well, even if he does feel that way, he has given the parameters to us to reconsider according to the way he sees it. And what he says is, he feels no remorse, and he will feel no remorse because he was, in effect, railroaded. The question is, was he railroaded? Does he have a legitimate case to make here?
I say yes, they chose the wrong plaintiff against him. They chose someone who had a settlement. Therefore, he was railroaded. If they could have chosen a better plaintiff, if all these people have accused him of being abused by him, they could have chosen someone that maybe he didn't have a settlement with. In other words, the court went out of its way to make sure that Bill Cosby would be guilty of something.
Well, I don't know that you could say the court went out of its way. The court held a trial for people who qualified to be heard at trial because of the, you know, the prior things that had been done and were cleared. They had evidence, they had witnesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They fulfilled the requirements for testifying against Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue is that Cosby did not have the weight in his favor from the witnesses called. He just did not.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the preponderance of evidence was against him. Mm-hmm. The timing was against him. We had all these different factors that were against him. And so he lost the case.
Okay. But once again, how do you reopen a settlement? That doesn't make, that's a contract.
Well, that's what I mean. The question is a legal question, but the lawyers didn't raise it.
Well,
that's the focal point of their case.
I didn't know that. They didn't raise that?
If you're telling me, and you're just observing this case, and I agree, I'm saying they missed their turn in terms of how they situated this case. They went along with the arguments. How would you go along with the arguments of a case that was supplying this case? The Constant case was supplying all the ammunition they needed to fight against. But, you know, they went along. They didn't attack the settlement.
That's really but you know, the way you presented that, you should have been, you should be the attorney.
I was expecting, I mean, I just naturally expected that that would have been the issue. Did this case belong in the court at all? They didn't put that theory to the test. They didn't make a compelling argument about that. And so they let Constant essentially design the case and the parameters of the case for them.
Wow.
They were reacting. Well, that's the signal. I got to go. I'm so delighted that we had a nice bit of chatting today. Excellent points raised by everyone. We'll be back tomorrow for Free Your Mind Friday. Bye-bye.